With us in the book of Exodus, chapter number 12, we used these verses last Sunday night for our text verses. We'll do that again tonight, and then again next Sunday night, and preaching to you out of this thought. Once you find your place in Exodus 12, if you'll just run over a couple chapters to Exodus chapter number 3, and put your bookmark, put your finger in there. And much of our text will come, much of our thought, I should say, will come from Exodus chapter 3, but we're going to use chapter 12 for a text. So if you're there, if you want to stand, you can. We're going to read the Word of God. You don't have to stand, but if you want to, you can. And we'll read the first 14 verses together, and then we'll pray and ask the Lord's blessings. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto him, unto his house, take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out of the sheep or the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper door post of the house, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat it not raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head and his legs, and with a purtenance thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it unto the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses wherein ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be unto you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, for your word and for your goodness. And I pray that the Holy Ghost would get us out of the way and help us tonight. Speak through us, we ask, in Jesus' name, and amen. You can be seated. Last Sunday night, I told you that the Old Testament is not only full of history, but it all is also full of types and pictures and illustrations. Of these types and pictures, certainly one of the greatest is the type of the picture of the Passover. On the night of Passover, God's death angel came through the land of Egypt as a result of judgment for sin and rebellion. And as the death angel moved through the land, a cry went out. But as that cry went out, there was a group of believers that were saved from this death and judgment. They were saved by the shedding of the blood of an innocent lamb. And when the angel saw the blood that was upon their houses and upon their doors, he passed over them, and the judgment was removed. Now the picture of our text is very clear. The Passover is a beautiful picture of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. In the last Sunday night, we looked at the children of Israel in Egyptian captivity. The Egyptians were placing great burdens upon them, and they were killing their babies. And with pain in their body and tears in their eyes, they did the only thing that they knew to do. They cried out to God. Can I pause just long enough to say tonight that I'm still glad to say that when hardship comes, that you and I can cry out to God
with confidence that He hears our prayers and that He answers prayers and that He cares about what we're going through. I'm glad I serve a God like that, don't you? Now tonight I want us to go back to Egypt. I want to preach for a few minutes tonight on this thought, the deliverance from Egypt at Passover. The deliverance from Egypt at Passover. There are three things I want you to see. I won't preach long. I'll give them to you quickly. Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. I want you to see, first of all, God's plan. I want you to see God's plan. If you're in Exodus chapter 3, go ahead and flip there. And I want you to look at verse number 16. The Bible says, "Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen all that is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, ye shall not go empty. But every man shall borrow of her neighbor, every woman shall borrow of her neighbor, and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians." Now the story of Moses is an amazing one. Moses was born to a family that was full of faith and full of favor in the eyes of God. This was a family that believed God and trusted God. We know the story how he was hid by his parents because of the persecution of the Egyptians. We know that he was raised in the home of Pharaoh. We know the story of how he killed an Egyptian. We know all of that. But after Moses killed that Egyptian, the scripture tells us that he runs off into the wilderness and we don't hear from Moses again for 40 years. But when we find him in our text 40 years later, he's on the backside of the wilderness watching over the sheep of his father-in-law in Midian. Now, I'm not sure that I've ever thought about this before, and maybe you've never thought about it either, but if you ever wondered what happened in the life of Moses in those 40 years, have you ever thought about what he thought, what he prayed, how he acted, what went through Moses' mind during those 40 years in the wilderness watching those sheep? I'll be honest, I've never thought much about that, but I read something this week that kind of got me thinking. Dr. Warren Wiersbe said during those years, Moses no doubt meditated on the things of God and prayed for his people that were suffering back in Egypt. This makes sense to me. Moses had certainly proven that his heart was for his people. When he killed that Egyptian, that showed that there had been enough God put inside of him when he was a lad growing up with his mother. There was enough God inside of him that when he got old, he couldn't get away from it. You know, that whole train up a child and the way he should go thing. And I'm glad that we can still put something down inside of our youngins that they can go off and they can run, but there's a God in heaven that won't ever let them get away from it. And there was something inside of him that mama put down inside of him that it, when he come out against that Egyptian, we see that there's something still there. We know there's something in his heart. But also, not only that, we know that Moses had to realize there was something special about him. You think about this. There weren't many young men Moses' age in the land of Egypt. Egyptian, Hebrew men, I'm saying. They were throwing them into rivers. They were killing them. There wasn't many of his age left And I wonder if Moses ever thought, why did I live and they had to die? What is it about me? Why was I spared? I wonder if God's got a plan for me. Whether all that's true or not, whether he thought about that in the wilderness, I don't know. But I do know this. I know God had a plan for Moses. And one day he's walking through the wilderness and he sees a bush burning. That's nothing abnormal to see a bush burning. But he gets to looking at the bush and he does see something abnormal. The bush is burning, but it is not being consumed. Moses had no idea at the time, but when Moses saw that bush burning in the wilderness, God was showing him a great picture of himself and what God would do in him. You see, that bush, there was nothing special about it, but that bush had been engulfed and had been consumed by the power of an almighty God. And Moses was a stuttering nobody watching a bunch of sheep on the backside of the wilderness. But he was about to get engulfed by the power of an almighty God and do something great for the Almighty. Amen. Hey, can I say tonight that I am thankful for a God that still empowers us. You and I are a bunch of nobodies with nothing to our name. We are no good. But there's a God in heaven that every once in a while reaches down and puts his touch on us and puts his hand on us. And when he does, we can do something in the name of Jesus. Now, as Moses approaches the bush, God begins to explain to him that he has a plan. I'm trying to get to this plan. God had heard their prayer. God was going to come to their rescue. There are a couple things I want you to see about this plan tonight, and then I'll move on. First of all, I want you to notice how this plan was given to Moses. I want you to notice how this plan was given to Moses. Now later in the book of Exodus, we will read that God will reach down from heaven and with his finger he will write on tables of stone and give the law to Moses. Amen. But in Exodus chapter 3, there is no finger from heaven. There are no stones. There's no heavenly vision. The only thing that God gives to Moses in chapter number 3 is he gives him his word. That is all God gives him. God says, I'm going to send you back to Egypt. I'm going to have you stand before Pharaoh. Pharaoh's going to reject you and he's going to reject me. But in the end, I'm going to prevail and I am going to deliver my people. All God was giving Moses was his word. But all that Moses needed was God's word. Amen. Can I say tonight that we are living in a cruel world? There is an evil enemy that is against us. There is a difficult task that is ahead of us. And God wants us to stand and God wants us to serve. And do you know what he gives us to do it on? What authority? He gives us his word. The only thing that I have tonight and the only thing that you have tonight is the word of God. But when this is all that we've got, we find that this is all that we need. And God has given us his word. God's got a plan for us, friend. God, I believe, has got a plan for you. God's got a plan for me. God's got a plan for this church. And he's given us his word on it. Amen. You say, well, what good is that word to me? It's a sword when the world comes against us. It's a shield when the enemy shoots his darts at us. It's a source of strength when God calls upon us to get something done. I want you to see how God gave him the plan. God just gave him his word. Oh, but not only do I want you to see how the plan was given, but I want you to see who gave the plan. This is the part of the story that we love the most, that we know the most. When Moses is given this plan and God says, I'm going to send you back, Moses' response is something like this. Well, if I'm going to go, I've got to know what your name is. Tell me who you are. They're going to ask me who sent me. And in response, God says that famous statement that you and I know so well. God said, when they ask you what my name is, tell them that my name is I Am. He said, tell them my name is I Am. If you study that phrase, I Am, in the Hebrew, it means this. It means to be. It means to become. basically what it means is this. God was telling Moses when he said, I am. He was saying, Moses, I'm the self-existent one. I am the one who was and who is and that always will be. Amen. That word I am, to be, to become, that means he said, Moses, I'm the dependable one. He said, Moses, basically what he said is this, Moses, I am the faithful one. I'm the one that always was, the one that always will be, and you can depend on me. Years later, Jesus Christ would pick up this statement that his father made all those years ago, and he would add to it. He would say, I am bread, I am water, I am light, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the true vine. You know what Jesus was saying? He was saying what his father said all those years ago. He was saying, whatever you need, that is what I am. You can count on me. I've got a plan. I've got a work to do. And I am the one that can get it done. Amen. Oh, I see God's plan. But not only do I see God's plan, but number two, I want you to see God's power. Exodus chapter 3, verse number 20. God said, and I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. Now, according to verse number 20, God tells Moses that before Pharaoh will let the Israelites go from Egypt, he will have to stretch out his hand, not Moses' hand, but God's hand. He said, I will have to stretch out my hand in the land of Egypt and do many wonders. In the next chapter, Moses is a little reluctant to do what God's told him to do. So God said, well, all right, I'll tell you what, son, what's in your hand? And he said, well, it's a rod, God. And God said, throw it on the ground. And he threw that rod on the ground and it becomes serpent. And Moses did what any logical human being would do. He ran. If you see a snake and you don't run, you have lost your mind. We will pray for you after service tonight. Amen. Snakes are demonic. You run from them. Yeah. And if I ever see you running and you say snake, I'm running too. You know the story. He picks it up and it becomes a rod again. Yes. He said, Moses, take your hand and put it in your bosom. Yes. And he held it out and it was white and leprous. He put it in again and it was made whole. You see, God was showing Moses that he was going to exercise his mighty arm. Yeah. Now, I don't have time to preach through the entire book of Exodus. I can't do that tonight. Go through these next chapters. Maybe you can read them on your own time. But for the next 10 chapters, God does just exactly what he told Moses that he would do. God stretched out his mighty arm against the land of Egypt and he plagued the Egyptians. He plagued them with blood and he plagued them with frogs. He plagued them with lice and he plagued them with flies. He diseased their livestock and he gave them bulls. He sent hail and fire. He sent locusts and darkness. And finally, he sent death. Over and over and over again, the hand of God was displayed and his power was seen. 10 plagues were sent. And at the end of 10 plagues, God's people were delivered. But I want to show you two things. There are two things I want to say to you tonight. Oh, we've got God's plan and we see God's power. But notice this. I want you to notice that when God gives you a plan and God equips you with his power, don't second guess God. Amen. I want to say that. Don't second guess God. If you go back, and you don't have to do this right now, but if you go back to chapter number 5 of the book of Exodus, Moses has come out of the wilderness. He's had an encounter with God. And I believe Moses is pumped up. He's seen rods turn into snakes and he's seen hands turn leprous and made whole again. He's seen a burning bush and he's on fire. And he goes back to the children of Israel and he says, got good news, got good news, got good news. I've seen God. I've seen the I Am. He's talked to me. Me and my brother, we're going to Pharaoh and we're getting out of here. And in Exodus chapter number 5, Moses goes before Pharaoh for the first time. Yeah. And he goes in there, Brother Scott, and he's got it all rehearsed and he's got it all planned. I could see him fix his tie and clear his throat and say, Pharaoh, God said, let us go worship in the wilderness. Amen.
Man, that sounds good, don't it? Sounds so good. And you know what Pharaoh said in response? He said, really? Huh? You want to go worship in the wilderness? You must have too much free time on your hands. I'll tell you what let's do. These Jews are idle. Take their straw away from them. You tell them I said that they have to make the same number of bricks they've always made, except I'm not giving them straw this time. No, wait a minute. Moses has received the plan from God. God has proven his power to him. And now he goes before Pharaoh to do the thing God says to do. And it didn't turn out like he thought it would. He goes back to the Egyptians and they say, what have you done to us? You have only made things worse, Moses. In chapter number 7, Moses gets up the courage to go again. All right, God, I'm going to go back this time. Except this time I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do the whole rod thing. I forgot about the rod thing the first time. I'm going to do the rod thing this time. The rod thing, man, this is going to work. And so Moses goes in before Pharaoh and he said, I told you before, let us go. And he throws the rod on the ground and it becomes a snake. What did Pharaoh do? He said, oh man, look at the power of God. I'm going to let y'all go. Nope. He said, hey, magicians, y'all come in here a minute. This old boy put his rod on the ground, it becomes a snake. And they said, oh yeah. And they threw their rods on the ground and they become snakes too. I'm pointing this out for a reason. There are going to be times in your life, there are going to be times in the church when God speaks to you. And God comes to where you're at. Maybe there's a message that's given, or maybe you're praying, or maybe you're reading your Bible, and God the Holy Spirit comes to you and He tells you something He wants you to do. And you get pumped up about it. You're excited. You're on fire. You've heard from the I Am. You've heard from heaven. I'm going to get this thing done. Maybe God tells you to go to a family member and witness to them and try to win them to Him. Maybe God says, you need to tell them about me. And so you work yourself up. You plan it out in your mind. You know what you're going to say. You know how you're going to lead into the conversation. You're praying all the way there. And you get there and you say, I want to talk to you about God. And they say, you know what? I'm not in the mood for that today. I don't want to hear about it. Maybe God tells you to teach a Sunday school class. And you surrender to that. You tell the church, God wants me to teach a Sunday school class. And you spend all week preparing and you study and you get your crafts together. And you come in on Sunday and no kids show up. You see, the fact is this. Just because Pharaoh rejected Moses did not mean that Moses was not doing God's will for his life. Nor did it mean that he did not have the power of God upon his life. In fact, Pharaoh rejected Moses 9 out of 10 times. But Moses kept going and God kept providing. And eventually God got the thing done he always said he wanted to do, because Moses never gave up. Don't you dare let that pug-faced devil tell you to give up. Amen. That God's not going to do what He said He's going to do. Yes. You keep going and you keep going and you keep doing. If God's told you to do it, then He's going to supply the power to get it done. If it's God's plan, He'll give you the power. I see not only that we shouldn't second guess when God gives us His power, but I want you to write this down. Not only don't second guess, but don't settle. Don't settle. When God gives you His power and His plan, don't settle. Amen. If you read the accounts of the book of Exodus, you'll read the back and forth between Moses and Pharaoh. And what you'll discover is something pretty interesting. You'll discover that actually there were 3 times that Pharaoh agreed to let the children of Israel go. 3 times, Brother Scott. The first time was in chapter number 8. Moses said, let us go. And of course, God brought a plague. Pharaoh called Moses in there and he said, I tell you what, I'll let you go. But don't go too far. Moses has said, we got to go 3 days' journey into the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, I'll let you go. Just don't go as far as God told you to go. Amen. Don't go too far. Chapter number 10, Pharaoh agrees to let him go one more time. In fact, in chapter 10, he lets him agree to go twice. In chapter number 10, he agrees again. He said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I will let you go, but only the men can go. Leave your little ones and your children. Leave your wives. Leave them all back here in Egypt. You can go, but just the men. Well, God had told them to go 3 days, so that short business wasn't going to work. God wanted them all to go. Yes. Yeah. Pharaoh knew that if the women and the children stayed behind, they'd come back. That wasn't God's plan. And then again in chapter number 10, Pharaoh says, I tell you what I'll do. I'll let you go. I'll let your wives go. I'll let your children go. Just leave your herd and your livestock behind. Three times Pharaoh said, I'll let you go. But there was always an exception. He was giving them part of what they asked for, but not all of what they asked for. Do you know that this is the way that the devil still works in our lives today? You get up the courage to do something for God, and you know what the enemy will do? He will offer you a substitute for the thing God told you to do. Maybe he'll offer you something close to what God promised. Or maybe he'll offer you part of what God promised. But what he wants to make sure is this. He does not want you to have everything that God promised. I wonder how many Christians are happy with partial blessings and partial power and partial victory because the devil has given them a substitute. I wonder how many churches are happy with partial blessings and partial power and partial victory because God has offered them something but they took the substitute instead. God has the power to give us everything that He's promised to give us. We just got to stay faithful till He gives it to us. You say, well, I can have this now. That's that Esau mentality. He said, I want the pottage now. Forget about the birthright. He should have hung on to the birthright. Right. Don't let the devil do you like Esau. Don't let him substitute what God has for your life.
Amen.
I see God's plan. I see God's power. Last of all, number three, I'm out of here. I see that God prevails. I see that God prevails. Verse number 29 of Exodus chapter 12, if you're back in Exodus 12. Verse 29 says, and it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt. For there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and your children and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord as ye have said. And also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone and bless me also. The rejection by Pharaoh and the captivity of Israel did not stop nor did it discourage God. God knew that ultimately in the end, one final plague would come on one final night. And when this plague was over, Pharaoh would not only allow them to go, he would command them to go. We often call this the Jewish Passover, but the Scripture calls it the Lord's Passover. 12 times in our text, the name of the Lord is mentioned. It was God that led them to Egypt, and it was God that was bringing them out of Egypt.
Yes.
I can imagine the children of Israel as they begin to prepare for this night. I can see a mother as she begins to clean her house, make sure that there's no leaven left behind. I can see a father as he takes the lamb and he cuts its throat and offers it as a sacrifice. I can see him painting that blood on the doorpost of his house. In my mind, I can see a little family as they gather around a little table. And on that table is unleavened bread and a roasted lamb and bitter herbs. And they're all so nervous, Grandpa. None of them feels like eating. But they eat anyways because God said to.
Amen.
I can almost see as the death angel. The death angel descends upon the land of Egypt. I can hear as a cry begins to go out through the town as the death angel passes from one house to the next house. Men and boys and animals begin to die. Finally, I can see Pharaoh as the scream goes through Egypt and it wakes him from his bed, and he runs into the room where his oldest son slept, and he looks at that bed and there's his baby boy without any life. And in anger, he calls for Moses and says, "Get out of here, get out of here, get out of here." Amen. Let me say two things and I'm done. Let me say, first of all, that God always keeps His promises.
Amen.
God told Moses at the burning bush that Pharaoh would reject him, but in the end, he would deliver his people. And what God promised, God delivered. God always keeps His word.
Amen.
Let me say, secondly, God always gives us a choice. Pharaoh had a choice to listen to the voice of God, but he chose not to. And in the same manner, people today are given the opportunity to listen to the voice of God. They have the choice whether to hear and accept or hear and reject. Unfortunately, many reject. Somebody will say, "What kind of God would send somebody to hell?" Oh, God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. God gives them a choice, and in their own free will, they reject God. Brother Scott, I want you to get us a verse of invitation tonight. I don't know if there's somebody that needs to come pray. But let me say this, if God has given you a plan and God has given you a purpose, God will give you the power and God will be faithful to do what He said He's going to do. While Brother Scott sings, if anybody needs to come pray, you can come pray.